The book of Proverbs has a great deal to say about self-discipline. In fact, if you were to look through the book of Proverbs and understand what wisdom is, it is that self-discipline under the rule of Christ and being governed by the Spirit of God, which the fruit of which is self-discipline against which there is no law. You can see that self-discipline is really right at the heart of wisdom. Now, we live in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation. And what that amounts to is that we live in an undisciplined generation. What we are seeing is something of the fruit of the particular philosophy of the day when we were raised, coming to bear fruition now in the generation that we are facing. Now, as believers, we need to engage in the process of both being disciplined and also disciplining others. Now, the whole, when you stop and think about it again, the concept of being disciplined is really to be discipled. The two words have a great deal in common. When you are discipled, you are placed under the discipline of another. If you are discipling someone, you are placing them under discipline. And the two go together. And so what is particularly important here is, what is the thrust of the passage here is true certainly of all of us in the Lord. But I want to speak to you tonight about disciplining children in particular and the way that we should go about that. I remember just this last week I went to lunch with Danny and Joe, and while I was there, there were two children in front of me, and quite frankly, they were just driving me absolutely nuts. They were the rudest children that I have come across in a long time, and I realize that I may be a little bit sheltered, but they were sitting there calling me names. You know, I always feared and trembled to call an adult names anyway, but these kids didn't even know me, and they were just making all these remarks and being just as rude as could be, and it was all I could do to assume the responsibility for disciplining them at the time. But I began to think about it, and it was a sad thing to see, because these children obviously had not been disciplined. They'd never even been taught the basic elements of courtesy and of decorum in public. But I want to deal with you because the Scripture does give us a great deal to say about the discipline of children, and in doing that, we can also understand God's dealing with us as well. And you need to have a commitment to that discipline which God sets forth in His Word, because it's being abandoned, and we'll speak about that a little bit more as we go on in the worship service, in the sermon. What does it take to discipline? What does it take to be effective in that discipline? And I want to deal with that this week, and then, Lord willing, next week we'll go back and we'll talk about the particular mechanisms and manners in which we ought to discipline. But let me say this first of all. If you would administer proper discipline in your families to your children, you must believe in the divine sanction for corporal discipline. Corporal discipline. Now, I know that's out of accord with modern thought, but that is the means which God has given to us. Look at chapter 13 and verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Now, we need to get over this and understand, we need to get over our own thinking in this and the thinking of the culture about us and understand that God has given to us corporal discipline as a divine sanction. There's nothing wrong with it. It is the means which God has ordained. And you need to get onto this, and you need to believe that. You need to search the Scriptures and see what it says, because it really runs contrary to everything that you're being told today. You must believe, first of all, that corporal discipline is godly, because God's Word is clear. It is very clear. And if you would go back and understand the blessing of pain in your life, you can understand that God uses pain for good reason. God has created us to feel pain, and it is the feeling of pain that keeps us from doing really stupid things. Now stop and think about it for a minute, and stop and think about all of the things that you don't do because it hurts. Most of us avoid putting our hands on hot stoves because it hurts. Now there are other reasons. I mean, if it didn't hurt, we'd probably go ahead and put our hands on hot stoves and wouldn't have any hands left. That's good that we avoid the pain. But God has ordained that. God has given us this means, and God has sanctioned it. And you need to understand, as parents, that this is ordained of God. Stop and think about the terrible thing that it would be not to have pain. You know, Joe has alluded to that, and it's a good illustration. There are diseases where you lose the sensory perception. I believe that leprosy is one of them. A leprosy is a disease whereby you lose the ability to feel pain in your extremities. Am I right with that about that, Kimberly? And the result is that eventually you get all gashed up and banged up, and you lose the use of those extremities. It's a terrible disease, and you need to understand first of all that and believe that corporal discipline is godly because God's word is clear. He's created it. He has sanctioned corporal discipline. When I speak about that, you need to understand that I'm doing nothing more than speaking about spanking. It's a word we don't like to use. I realize that I could get into a lot of trouble by saying this, but that's what it is. God has ordained spanking, and you must believe it. It's a godly means of discipline. And you must believe that corporal punishment is godly because you face a great deal of confusion and opposition. A lot of people have abandoned hope because of pressure from family, friends, ministers, and professionals. That picture that I gave to you, it is a sad thing indeed. And I want to say that it's a terrible thing to be able to hear so many people say, well, I just can't control my children. I just have to let them do this because, you know, that's just the way they are. That's a terrible thing. And the reason that we say that is because we have swallowed the lie that we can do nothing to control our children. There are ways that you can control your children if you are willing to do it. If you are willing to use the means that God has ordained. Now, it's not easy, and you do have to go against the wisdom of the age, but you need to believe that it's sanctioned by God, because if you don't, you're going to give up the means that God has ordained and you're going to be cast into hopelessness. For instance, you are being told that spanking is child abuse. And more, you hear it on the radio, you hear it on television, you hear it insinuated from Health and Human Services and all this kind of stuff. Spanking is child abuse. Let me tell you something. What is child abuse is if you don't spank your children. That's child abuse. Hear the word of the Lord. He who spares his rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him diligently. Now, who are you going to listen to? He who spares the rod hates his son. Listen to the word of the Lord in the book of Hebrews. If you're disciplined, you're children. If you're not disciplined, you're illegitimate children. Your father doesn't care anything about you. Now you tell me, what's child abuse? Child abuse is not spanking. Now certainly, to beat a child and to injure them and to do great harm to them, there is such a thing as going overboard. But that isn't what we're speaking about, and I need to be very clear about this. Don't you accept the lie that spanking your child is child abuse. Don't accept the lie that hurting your child is child abuse. And we'll get to that a little bit later. But you're being told, and you must believe, that that corporal punishment is godly. It's not pleasant for you, it's not pleasant for your children, but it is godly. You're being told that spanking is the source of violence. Children who are spanked, that breeds violent children. Let me tell you, I'm certain that there are more criminals, violent criminals today, because they were not disciplined in the home than because they were disciplined in the home. Spanking does not create violence. In fact, the proper use of spanking will curb violence. Because the scriptures tell us it is because the penalty for a crime is not visited quickly that crime abounds. That's in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's because we don't dish out the right penalty at the right time in the civil realm. And it's because our children are not disciplined at home that there is violence. And you are being told that spanking has no effect on behavior. Don't see how they can say that. It says it creates violence, so it must affect behavior that way. But you know what they're saying. It says it really doesn't affect behavior, that what you need is time out and things like that. And I've told you some of the things that are being done by the so-called professionals at rearing children. You're supposed to take them, and you're supposed to take them to the place and put them there and say, now you stay there. And most people say, well, yeah, but that's great, but my child won't stay there. And so the professionals say, okay, what you do is you take them over to the place and you sit them down there and you put them down and you say, now you stay there. Okay, you can move now. See? And that gets them to obey you. Well, what foolishness. And let me say something here, and we'll get to this a little bit later on. What spanking does is it makes you a prosecutor and not a regulator. And that's what you need to be, because you're trying to teach your children self-discipline. You'll only do that when you believe that the divine sanction, that there's a divine sanction for corporal punishment. You need to believe that, because if you don't, you'll abandon it. And you'll abandon it to the detriment of your children. Now, you children, you listen too. You need to understand that when your mommy and your daddy spank you, it is not because they don't love you. It is because they love you enough to do what they don't like to do. Because they love you more than you love yourself. You listen and you obey your children, your parents, and you understand that they're doing what God wants them to do. And you parents, you explain that to your children. God requires you to discipline your children and to discipline you with the rod. Secondly, if you had administered God's discipline, you must be convinced of the necessity of corporal discipline. Not only must you be convinced that it is God's will and God has sanctioned it, but you must understand that it is necessary and God has sanctioned it because He understands and He knows that necessity. And there are several reasons why spanking is necessary. Spanking is necessary, first of all, because your children's sin nature inclines them to sin. I don't know how many of you listened to the news last week. But now with this, with Clinton's crime bill coming up, they're saying that, well, we need to understand there's so much violence in the world today, and we know this can't be coming from inside these people, so they must be taught this somewhere. Now, listen carefully, because you read between the lines, what they're saying is it's because of all these families that spank their children, they're being taught violence in the homes. That's what they're going to be doing to us. But you need to understand that spanking is absolutely necessary. Because children are not neutral. Children are not basically good. Children are not inclined to do good if they just have the proper environment and positive reinforcement. You need to understand that spanking is necessary because your children are inclined to do evil. And if you do nothing, that is exactly what they'll do. That verse that tells us in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from us, is true. But it can also be read, and it is just as true if we read it this way, train up a child in the way that he would go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you do nothing, if you allow your child to go just as he pleases, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. In fact, we read the verse, a child who gets his own way is a grief to his mother. You let your child do what they would do, and you don't love your child. You need to spank them. You need to discipline them in that way. Proverbs 22 and verse 15 tells us, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Foolishness, sinfulness. And it's not just children, it's you and me too. We need the discipline of the Lord. Spanking is necessary because your children's sin nature inclines them to sin. Secondly, spanking is necessary because your children's sin nature prevents them from learning from instruction alone. Look at Proverbs chapter 29. and verse 19. It'd be great if we could just sit down and reason with them. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 19. A slave will not be instructed by words alone, for though he understands, there will be no response. You understand what that's saying? You can't just sit down and read and reason with someone. They'll understand you, but they won't do what you say. Now, they'll try to let you think that they don't understand you. They'll try and tell you, but I didn't hear you. But I didn't understand that's what you meant. But it's amazing how the hearing improves and how the understanding improves when they're spanked for disobedience. In fact, they can hear the slightest voice, and they're eager to listen when they understand that you are expecting them to listen and to pay attention and to learn. But we cannot just reason with them. You know, it's a sad thing. You can spend all of your time with your children getting down there. And I'm not saying that you should never do this, but I want to say this. You children, you must learn to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You don't need to know any other reasons. You obey them because it's right. You obey them because they expect you to obey them. And the reason that we say that is because the goal that we have is we want our children to obey God that way. God does not always tell you and me why He would have us to do something. He just tells us to do it. And because He is who He is, we obey Him. And that's what we want. But you can't get down, what I wanted to get to here is you can't get down and all the time and just sit there and say, now, this is the way it is, and explain all the reasons and everything else. It just doesn't work that way. You tell them, and they're to do it, and then, if not, then a spanking is necessary, because they won't learn from instruction alone. It needs to be reinforced. A third reason, spanking is necessary because of the created relationship between body and soul. Each one affects the other. Again, we can look to the book of Proverbs and see this. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 30. Stripes that wound scour away evil, and strokes reach the innermost part. You see, as you understand the relationship between body and soul, God has created a relationship between that we learn spiritual lessons through the body. And we learn lessons that are important for the body through our spirits as well. But I'm going to say this, when you do this, you need to make it worth your child's while to obey you. I've had parents come to me, in fact, Bunny had a conversation, I guess Flossie did this morning also, that someone had mentioned, it's not enough simply to spank your children and then let them continue in the way they're going. If your children, if you can spank them and they just go right back to doing what they were doing, you haven't spanked them hard enough. You have merely made it inconvenient for them to do what they want to do. It's a mere inconvenience that can very easily be overcome. Okay, I'll put up with this. It's no big deal. And they'll probably put up a good front, and they'll fuss, and they'll cry, and they'll make you think that you've just about killed them and say, boy, did I get one over on Mom and Dad that time. Now I can go back and just get on and do it because she'll try it again or he'll try it again. It doesn't bother me in the least. If they're saying that after a spanking, then you have not spanked them hard enough or long enough. Now, that sounds terrible for me to say, but it's true. And I say that with the experience of 5 children. And my children are smiling now because they know that it's true. They weren't smiling at the time. You cannot simply make it inconvenient for them. It needs to be a stripe that wounds. Now, again, I'm not talking about marring their bodies. But I am saying you have to make it hurt enough so that they would rather obey you than face that again. And by the way, I would say this, that if that's the type of discipline that you administer, I'm going to be so bold as to say it's not quite, but it's almost as bad as no discipline at all. Because what you're teaching your child is, hey, I can do what I want, I can sin, and there are no real hardships that come to me. And that's a lie of Satan. because there's going to be a hardship that will come to you if you continue in your sin that you'll never escape. And you need to teach that to your children. One of the ways that God does that is He's given us corporal discipline to show them that there is a relationship between sin and disobedience and pain and suffering. And there is. It's a very real one. Third thing, if you had administered God's discipline, you must be convinced of the effectiveness of corporal discipline. It is effective. I've had this conversation with some of you. I've spoken on it before. But you must believe that corporal discipline is effective. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it from him. It will. I've got to try something else. It's just not working. If it's not working, go back and be more intensive, be more consistent. It will work. I will never forget with my older children. I just thought, all we're doing all day is spanking them. It's just not working. And I had to come back to scriptures, and I told Bunny, I said, Bunny, it may not look like it's working, but this is what the Word of God says. We're either going to believe God or we're going to go our own way. And we believed God, and God very graciously and faithfully enabled us to see the changes in our children. It takes self-discipline for you to discipline your children, but you need to be self-disciplined on the basis that you know that what God says works. And there are several things that I want to point out to you about this. First of all, you will not harm your child if you spank him in love. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. People come up and say, oh, well, there's just so much damage to my child's self-image when I spank him. Nonsense. Now, he's going to try and convince you that he's ruined forever. And you're going to say, well, my child is just so sensitive, it will just destroy it. Well, great. If he's real sensitive, then it shouldn't take a whole lot of discipline. They'll respond right away. But I want you to understand that spanking does not harm a child. Chapter 23, verse 13. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you beat him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, why did the Lord put that in there? Because parents are prone to think, oh, if I spank my child, they're going to die. And we think that sometimes. Sometimes we think that our relationship with them is going to be ruined forever. I remember the first time I spanked my first child. She was a scholar from the very beginning. She liked my books. She was in this walker, and she loved to go over to the books and basically demolish them. She'd chew on them and she'd rip the pages out of them, and I had been telling her that she wasn't to do this, and I finally realized that I had to spank her. And I thought, oh my, I love her so much and we have this great relationship, and it's going to destroy that relationship. And so I went ahead and I spanked her, and I found out that while she'd been off playing out there and wouldn't come to me or anything else, after I spanked her, boy, she'd crawl up in my lap. And then for a while, when she got really grinchy, she would get up and she'd just be nasty and whining and complaining. And we just figured, well, the only way we can start a day off is with a spanking. And, you know, after that spanking, boy, she'd just straighten up and she'd be happy and she'd be loving. And so listen, you aren't going to harm your child if you spank them in love. You're going to do them a great deal of good. And to show you, and I've told you this before, to show you how you can literally take this. We have some good friends in California. They took us under their wing, as it were, when Bunny and I were newlyweds and raising our children. And they gave us a lot of insight into the raising of a family. And Earl and Alice had a middle son who was a hemophiliac. He was the worst of the worst, in the sense that he had no clotting factor at all. Basically, when David began to bleed, there was nothing they could do to stop the bleeding. They had to wait until his skin would stretch so tight that it would act as a tourniquet, and then he would stop bleeding. So he was in the hospital off and on when he was very small. And yet it became quite obvious to them as their other children grew and they were disciplining their older son, and I don't know whether they had a younger son or not by this time, but But whatever it was, they understood that what they saw in David, that he was a child who was getting his own way. And what were they supposed to do? What in the world could they do? I mean, here was a child who, when he was learning to walk, would, you know how a child will walk along, and then when he loses his balance, he'll sit, and then he would bruise and begin to bleed from sitting like that. What were they supposed to do? Put him in the hospital and go. And then finally they came across this verse. They came across the verse, although you beat him with the rod, he will not die. And they took it to the Lord in prayer, and they took David, and they did. They sat down and they reasoned with him. They said, David, here's what the Word of God says. And we would rather you lose your life than you lose your soul. And so they took him and they began to spank him with the rod. Now that was a lot of faith. But I want to tell you something. David never once was bruised or bled from the spankings that he got. Never once. And he's a fine young man. And by the grace of God, he's approaching his late 20s or what is he? Where is he? But he has he's a fine Christian young man. He's an elder in the church. Because two parents found this verse and they believed it with all their hearts. If you spank him with the rod, he will not die. That took a lot of faith. They had to determine they would rather see him disciplined for the glory of God and lose his life than the other. That took a lot of faith. Most of us don't have that problem. You need to understand and believe you will not harm your child if you spank him in love. Secondly, you will control your child's conduct if you spank him in love. It is effective. It works. Now notice, we're spanking them in love, not in an out-of-control rage, not in anger, but with a decided purpose. And that decided purpose is that we are going to make them obedient, at least outwardly, to the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to see to it that they will not sin and get away with it. And we're disciplining them in love. We're disciplining them because we love them, not in an out-of-control rage. And we have to guard against that. You'll control his outward conduct. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. I think it is significant that as corporal punishment has decreased in the United States, violence and violent crime has what? Increased. It hasn't gone down with the decline in spanking. It has gone up. And you need to understand that that is not by accident. When a culture abandons the means that God has given for disciplining children, you can expect unruly and undisciplined parents when they grow older who will also not discipline their children, but abuse their children. Child abuse is not the fruit of godly discipline in the home. It's the fruit of ungodly lack of discipline in the home. So that what's happening? People can't stand it. Their children drive them nuts. And when they have no means of correcting it, they just haul off and bash them. Now you as parents know how difficult it is. What happens when we get to that point where we're disciplining in anger? We've let it go too long. If we get to the point where we're angry, if we get to the point where we're frustrated, it's because we haven't used the rod quickly enough. And what's happened in the world since they never used the rod, they just explode and they really do damage to their children. That's the fruit. That's the result. That's the consequence of not having godly discipline in the home. And thirdly, you will have an impact on your child's soul if you spank him in love. We've looked at some of these. I want to look at chapter 19 and verse 18 again. Chapter 19 and verse 18. Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. We've read the other ones, that if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he will not depart from it. You will deliver his soul from death. You see, it's because of that relationship. You will certainly affect his conduct, and you will undoubtedly affect his soul as well, because God has done that. You must be convinced. You must be convinced that it is effective, because if you don't, you will despair and you will lose heart. You will not persevere, because it is a hard thing to do. Fourthly, if you would administer God's discipline, you should consider the advantages of corporal discipline. And there are a number of them here, and we'll just go through them very quickly. First of all, you can administer discipline immediately. It doesn't take a great deal of preparation. You don't have to go through a whole lot of machinations. I would say to you that if you are out in public, that you should wait until you get home, because of the culture in which we live. I would say to you that if you are practicing discipline regularly in the home, there's pretty effective discipline just by saying, okay, I've spoken to you once, you haven't done it, when we get home we will take care of it. And that usually takes care of it right there, if you're consistent in disciplining immediately. If you aren't, your kids are going to say, mom and dad are just bluffing as usual, we can go on. Administer discipline immediately. It's an advantage. You can administer discipline completely. And what I mean by that is it means there's no lingering effects. You can have the whole thing over and done in a matter of minutes. You can discipline them. You can go on with your life. You can have a relationship again, just like we were talking about with Kimberly. I always think, well, this is going to destroy our relationship. The great thing about spanking my children was that I could spank them, I could correct them, and immediately pick them up, hug them, kiss them, love them, and have a restored relationship. The discipline was over. It was done. It was finished. And that's an advantage. It's a great thing to know that the penalty is paid, that it's over and done. Thirdly, you could administer discipline lovingly. If you administer a spanking at the proper time, and the rule in our household, and we'll get to this next week, was that we expected instant obedience. And we found that as long as we were consistent with that, we would speak to our children once, they were allowed not to argue with us. And Kimberly has pointed out to us with our younger children that we have strayed from that, and now we carry on these long dialogues with our younger children. And come, let us reason together and see whether I really need to make my bed this morning and that kind of thing. That we have not been as consistent with that, and therefore we get a little bit more frustrated. But when we were consistent in administering discipline quickly and immediately, then there were no raised voices. There was no anger. There was none of that. There was no frustration. It simply was, you haven't done what I've told you to do, and you know what that means. Let's get it over with. All calm, all peaceful, all is well. That's an advantage if you're consistent. Fourthly, you can administer discipline repeatedly. Now, you may not think that's an advantage, but it really is. I mean, it's really tough when you're working with your children and you're depriving them of certain privileges. And, you know, when they have been kept away from their bicycle for 3 years, they say, what else? I'm not going to ride that thing until I have my car anyway. So what else are you going to add on to it? You see, you can only add on so many privileges. And by the way, one of the difficulties with that too is you forget. Now, what did I tell my children? How long were they supposed to be away from that bicycle? And of course, you can't remember and they can't remember. And so it's really tough. But I'll tell you what, if you're spanking your children, you can spank them for something and 5 minutes later they do something else. You don't have to remember. You say, well, okay, you know what the penalty is. Let's get on with it. Now, children don't think that's an advantage, but it is. It's a great advantage to you. And fifthly, you can administer discipline appropriately. That is, you can alter, and you can, in the same mode, you can punish more drastically those infractions that are more serious. We have... And what I mean by that is we used to deal with our children. We would tell them when there were certain things that were done that we would simply up the ante. If they, particularly with the habits they had gotten into, if they hit a brother or a sister the first time, well, we gave them one spanking, which consisted of so many swats. And the second time they did it, we doubled it. And the third time they did it, we added another set to it. And we did put a limit on it. I think it was 40 stripes, save one. That seemed to be a biblical thing. But if then we would just continue to do that, and we could administer discipline appropriately. And we could also do this, that if we were lied to, if we were inquiring into the situation and they lied to us, then we would administer appropriate discipline. And you can do that with spanking. One last thing here, and we'll close. Finally, if you would administer God's discipline, then you must assume that responsibility and act on your convictions. It is not enough simply to know all this and to be absolutely convinced, but the idea of being convinced will lead to your consistent use of discipline. I'm going to say a word to you fathers, because in particular it is addressed to you. Fathers, bring your children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Now, that does not exclude mothers, but I want to say this. You fathers must be the ones who assume that primary responsibility in disciplining your children. You need to reinforce what your wives do, but when you get home, you must be the one who assumes that responsibility. You must be the one. They need to see you as the one who is enforcing the discipline and is the source of it. And you must be one who loves your children and who administers that discipline in a proper manner, in a way that is loving, that restores relationships and doesn't break them. Indeed, if we spare the rod, we will spoil the child. But God has given us very clear instruction. Don't listen to the world. If you listen to the world, you will have all kinds of heartache. You will have grief. You will have all kinds of things that you don't want in the lives of your children. Satan will get to you through your children. But if you are disciplined yourself, self-disciplined to administer loving discipline the way God has given it to you, then your children will be a delight to you all of your days. And may God give you that great delight. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you to thank you for the discipline that you give to us. Indeed, no discipline for the moment seems to be joyful, but it is a terror to us. As we look back over our lives and we see the rod of correction that you have brought to us, we can do nothing but praise you and thank you, for you have been faithful. And so, Lord, even as you have loved us enough to discipline us, so, Lord, we pray that we might love our children enough to discipline them for the sake of their eternal souls. May our children receive it with meekness. May we give it with love and firmness and boldness. And we beg, Father, that you will bring forth the effectiveness of it. And we ask, therefore, that we might have children who love you, who love us, and who serve you, and who will raise up children for the glory of Christ as well. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.